there's everlasting life waiting. I'm sure all of you have followed along with the news and the happenings in the past few weeks around the world. And it's very interesting times that we live in. There's many things that that can be said about it. Now, I know our country is not a perfect country, but a lot of people have come and want to come to the United States. The U.S. has this promise in our Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence. One of the lines there that says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, though, the problem is that this pursuit is up to you and me. It's up to you to figure out what that looks like, to define what happiness, life, liberty means for you. And though we live in the U.S., we see that many people are not happy. We see that they are not fulfilled. And today, especially in the U.S., we're dealing with a mental crisis, a health crisis. There's homelessness all around us, and there's continuous unrest. The promise, or this line in the Constitution that promises life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, it looks like somehow people missed out on that line. Just by being here, you think that just by coming to the U.S., you already have this. But it seems like people don't have that. And the reason is that the world only offers a passing, a fleeting version of life, of liberty, and a corrupt version of happiness. When we look at life, today it's not easy to find organic or healthy food. We have a lot of processed food on our shelves. So therefore we have, you know, some health issues. When we talk about liberty, it's come now that others' beliefs are more important than your beliefs, and I'm going to protest your belief. And when we talk about happiness, happiness is masked in consumerism. The more you have, the happier you're going to be. But true life, true liberty, and true happiness, and so much more, can be achieved in this world. And Scripture shows us what that actually looks like. As parents, specifically, you know, as me as a parent, I want my children to live better lives, easier lives than I did. That is why my parents immigrated to this country. They wanted us to have it easier. See, every generation wants the next generation to do better, to be better, to not make the same mistakes that they did before. So we share. We share our experiences. We share life lessons that could help them. And we share, as Christians, the foundation of what life is. We share biblical truths about life, about Jesus. And in Scriptures, we have quite a few examples of fathers that pass on wisdom to their children. And probably the most obvious passing of wisdom is King Solomon, as he writes through Proverbs. And if we look at this wisdom, and if we just take a part of it, just a small nugget of the wisdom that we find through Proverbs, and we apply it to our lives, it will lead us to true fulfillment, to the way God intended life to be lived in this world. So tonight, I want to ask, what does this life look like? What is the road to fulfillment, to life, liberty, happiness, and so much more look like when we apply biblical wisdom to our lives? And I've entitled tonight's message, The Way Wisdom Walks. And tonight, I'm going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 and just the first 12 verses. And as I go through my sermon, I'll be reading the verses. The first principle that we see on how wisdom walks, how we can apply wisdom to our lives, is seen in verses 1 and 2, and I've named it, honor leads to life. The first two verses out of chapter 3 in Proverbs say, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." You know, you've probably heard it, or you probably said it yourself to your kids. How many times do I need to tell you? How many times do I need to remind you to do this or to do the other thing? But there is something when we honor not just our parents, though that's what we're talking about here, but when we take those principles that our parents, our mentors, our leaders teach us and we apply it to our lives. You see, Solomon urges his son to keep his teachings. This is Solomon as a dad urging a child to keep those instructions that he's taught him all throughout. They're not necessarily a religious or spiritual in nature, but they're those things that your parents have taught you. But they are godly life lessons, godly morals, godly principles on how to live a righteous life. Solomon's focus is on the heart and allowing our hearts to meditate and remember our father's instructions, our mentors, our leaders, those that have invested godly things in our life, learning from them, applying those godly principles to our lives. You know, as godly parents, we should be teaching, we should be directing our children how to approach life biblically, how to apply it daily. Not just the foundation, yes, there's salvation only in Jesus, and that is the first most important thing. But in a biblical way, how do I have my relationships? How do I relate to my coworkers? How do I relate to my friends? How do I find someone that I'm going to marry? How do I deal with finances? How do I deal with emotions, physical health? Those foundational principles are within scriptures, and parents should be teaching those to their children. And if we can apply those simple but profound truths to our life, it leads to what Solomon calls here long days. Now, no one is promised long, long days that you're going to live 100, 100, 200 years. But it means more about having a life that is enjoyable, a life that is worth living, a life that is full of purpose, full of meaning. When we apply these biblical principles as we honor those that came before us, and we discover peace, not world peace, but shalom, that peace in our hearts. We find peace in our relationships with our children, with our spouses, with our friends, with everyone around us. When we honor our parents, when we honor our forefathers by loving on them, by meditating on and applying those biblical principles that they've shared with us, we discover life. We discover peace in our hearts. And this is a biblical principle. Paul reminds the Ephesians of God's commandment in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let us therefore honor those that have come before us and that we may find that life and peace in our lives. The second principle that wisdom teaches us here is that serving leads to respect. Many people want to get ahead in life. They want to be successful. Unfortunately, they do it at the expense of others. They find success at the expense of relationships, even at the expense of their character. And unfortunately, the world encourages this type of living. Get to the top, no matter the cost. But the Word of God teaches us that the way to get ahead in life is by serving others in selflessness. In verses 3 and 4 out of Proverbs 3, Solomon writes, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and men." When we talk about steadfast love, it talks about this loyal and merciful kindness committing to the well-being of others in your relationship. And faithfulness is a constant commitment to the truth, keeping your word, even if it costs you, even if it's to your own detriment. And Solomon says, bind them around your neck, speaks of us living this out publicly, adopting these characters of serving others, of being faithful, of doing what we say we're going to do, and wearing that with boldness, and letting those characters define us for who we are in Christ. This is the way to gain favor and good reputation or respect in life. People will respect you when you respect, when you honor, when you love, when you serve others. While the world looks down on these characteristics, Jesus teaches us the opposite. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 20, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." They're so happy that they're rulers. "And that their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Therefore, may we show love, may we show mercy, may we serve others with love, with kindness, with respect, just like Jesus did for us." The third principle that we see here in wisdom is that humility leads to purpose. You know, the world is full of information. It is full of data. You can find information at an instance. We have experts on every subject that you can think of. We have podcasters. We have people that are vloggers, TED Talks on various subjects. Today, we have AI tools that are available for the masses to use to solve intricate problems. And it's very easy to become confident in what you know, in your skill set, and in your abilities. But last year, in 2024, a Pew Research done of a few thousand employees showed that only 50% of employees are actually happy with their jobs. 38% were like, I could leave. And 12% hated their jobs. They were not satisfied. Because when we try to find purpose and meaning in anything else besides what is of God, we are truly lost. In verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs 3, the Word of God says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." In order for us to trust in the Lord, it means to become humble, to realize that you don't have all the answers. It's realizing that you need to place your confidence, your trust, your faith in God alone. And when we place our faith, our trust in God, it looks like this. We place our entire heart, our entire being, knowing that God gave what He had most precious for your well-being. He gave Jesus Christ. That is why we put all our faith in Jesus. Our faith, our trust in the Lord is exclusive. It's exclusive faith in God. We depend solely on God for our living, asking Him for direction and waiting on the Lord to answer and to show us the way. And when we put our trust in the Lord, it is uniform, meaning that we acknowledge Him in all areas of our life, even those that may seem insignificant. Too many times we are proud of what we achieved, of what we did. We think that, look what I was able to achieve and do. When in reality, if it wasn't for God, nothing would have been done. When we're humble enough to place our trust, our faith in God alone, it is then that we find true wisdom in God. And I encourage all of us to enlarge our view of who God is, of what He can do, to be humble enough to know that I don't know. Only He knows. Only then will you find true purpose, true direction in life. When He speaks, when He gives you the word of life, when He shows you this is the way, let us trust Him to give us that purpose in our life. The fourth principle of wisdom is that holiness leads to health. Verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. See, this is a truth that too many people choose to ignore. Sin can lead to sickness because sin lays on us as a heavy burden. When you realize the sin that you've committed, you feel that shame, you feel that guilt, you have that anger to yourself. You can't think clearly anymore when sin presses upon you. You see, King Solomon was taught this principle by his father David. King David experienced and described the consequences of unconfessed sin in his life. In Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, David writes, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of summer." King David knew the price of sin, and he felt it in his bones. His health was diminishing. But he also recognized that when he confessed his sin, he gained life and health. In Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He who forgives all your iniquity, he who heals all your diseases." I pray that tonight we understand that sin has a cost, has a price on our health. Look, health is something that we all need, that we all want. But some of our ailments may be due to our lack of reverence and awe of God, respecting God for who He is, holy and righteous. Therefore, we need to reject evil. It's necessary to reject evil in our lives. In other words, living holy lives will bring refreshment and health to our life. In Proverbs 9, Solomon writes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Let us have reverence. Let us remember who it is that we are serving. Let us live holy lives, holy and righteous life, because the one that we serve is holy. And if there is sin that needs to be confessed, let us confess that sin so that we may take part of health in our lives. The fifth and last principle that I want to share tonight is that faithfulness leads to blessings. You know, many have taken this principle out of context and created a false theology called the prosperity gospel. Verses 9 and 10 out of Proverbs 3 says this: "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." When we recognize that everything that we do have is because of God's love and mercy towards us, when we honor God with the best that He has blessed us with, those first fruits, when we tithe, when we give to our Lord what He deserves, we declare our dependence upon God for everything else. Through that act of giving, we honor Him when we say, "Lord, I thank You and I trust You with the 90, 70, 60, whatever else is left. I trust You to provide more and more. I trust in You, Lord." But you see, for those that have wealth, it should be used towards honoring the Lord, not for praising or for glorifying our own selfish desires. Because Proverbs doesn't focus on this idea that if there's external obedience, you get rewarded. Unfortunately, what the prosperity gospel says, if you do these great things, there's going to be this reward. That's not the way Proverbs talks about. I mean, if we read all this, it talks about, and the focus is on the posture of the heart. If you're showing that you're tithing, that you're giving just to receive praise, your heart isn't honoring God. When the focus of what we do, when we give, when we honor, is on bringing God all the glory and thanking Him for what He has done. That's true worship. But when we want to make it a big thing, that it's about me giving, that it's about me doing, look how great I am, then we've lost true worship. We've lost the purpose of what it means to give. Look, there might be other areas of our life that the Lord wants to change. And in verses 11 and 12, Solomon tells his son, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights." You know, just because Solomon is trying to say, listen, you're going to give and you should give and you should honor the Lord. But there may be other things in your life. There may be other areas of your life that needs changing. Let God mold you. Let God change the other areas in your life where you have not let Him touch you. Maybe it's the way you handle relationships. Maybe it's the way you talk to others. Maybe it's the way you don't show respect or kindness or love. Let God work and mold you and transform you. Then, only then, will you experience even more of God's unmeasurable blessings upon our life. You see, many seek fulfillment in life, but they can't find it in things that are not of God. Only godly wisdom will lead us to what it means to be truly fulfilled. When we're reminded again that we should pray and ask for wisdom, as we heard this morning in the morning sermon, the importance of faith, the importance of asking for wisdom in our lives, as we learn to honor, that honor leads to life, that serving others leads to what respect really means. Humility leads our life to purpose. Holiness in our lives leads to health, and that faithfulness leads to us experiencing God's blessings. But Socrates once said, how can you call a man free when his pleasures rule over him? How can we be free? How can we experience true freedom when we allow pleasures, what the world offers, to rule over us? This evening, I would ask each one of us, including myself, to look at what I have not put at the cross, where I've let my pleasures rule my life. Because when those pleasures and those life, liberty, and my version of the pursuit of happiness takes over what God says is holy and righteous, I am lost. Tonight, I ask that we, each one of us, look at our lives. We come in repentance before God, and we let Him change us, transform us, lead us in His wisdom, in godly wisdom that has been passed on through generations. And today, we have the opportunity to experience, to know God's word, and to come humbly before Him, and to ask Him to lead us in our life, in every areas of our life. May God be glorified in everything that we do. Amen. Amen.